Hello and welcome to Books by Old Dead Guys. I am David.
And I'm Scott. I got to tell you, David, your voice was especially smooth today.
Oh, well, I try.
It's a great intro until I started speaking.
Well, folks, you have been with us for 80 episodes now. This is episode number 80. Thank y'all. Thank y'all for being with us. Thank y'all for listening, and we really appreciate those that have told us, you know, in person how much you appreciate the podcast. We enjoy doing it, and I don't think either of us quite thought we would make it to 80 episodes.
So, and on top of that, I don't think that either one of us thought that people that weren't either married to us or like our parents would actually listen to them. But it turns out.
Turns out folks do. Yeah. And so we're incredibly thankful and, just blown away. But so we're moving through Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices by Thomas Brooks. Scott, you want to catch us up to where we've been recently?
Absolutely.
In the book?
Yeah, so this has been, we've said this a couple of times, probably the most helpful book I think that we've decided to dig into so far. The intention of the book is to give us insight into the strategies of the evil one from the perspective of a Puritan pastor who has seen the enemy do this in the lives of people and has studied the scriptures really well. So it gives us a series of what are called devices, ways that the evil one would tempt us. And then he gives remedies, if you will. What are the antidotes to these poisons that the enemy would put into our lives? And the current major heading in the book is devices to keep the soul from holy duties. In other words, how does the enemy work to keep us from doing the things that we ought to do because those things are really good for our soul? And so we've made it through six of these so far, and we are now beginning device number seven together.
So device number seven. By casting in a multitude of vain thoughts, whilst the soul is in seeking of God or in waiting on God, and by this device he hath cooled some men's spirits in heavenly services and taken off, at least for a time, many precious souls from religious performances. I have no heart to hear, nor no heart to pray, nor no delight in reading, nor in the society of the saints. Satan doth so dog and follow my soul, and is still a casting in such a multitude of vain thoughts concerning God, the world, and my own soul, that I even tremble to think of waiting upon God in any religious service. Oh, the vain thoughts that Satan casts in do so distaste my soul, and so grieve, vex, perplex, and distract my soul, that they even make me weary of holy duties, yea, of my very life. Oh, I cannot be so raised and ravished, so heated and melted, so quickened and enlarged, so comforted and refreshed, as I should be, as I might be, and as I would be in religious services, by reason of that multitude of vain thoughts that Satan is injecting or casting into my soul.
So I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that I bet almost everyone in our congregation who has participated in the 24 hours of prayer has experienced this. Because in the middle of that hour where you're really trying to devote your mind and your spirit to prayer and to talking to the Lord, it is uncanny some of the out of left field thoughts
that will come
into your brain while you're trying to talk to Jesus. I mean, things that you hadn't thought about in years, but all of a sudden it's like your flesh is just screaming for something to distract me from thinking about the things of God, right? Well, those are some of the devices of the evil one. Now, I'm not saying that Satan is literally like standing over the shoulder of every person that's doing this, but there is really an enemy. And if he's really going to be at work, this is the sort of thing that he's going to be at work doing. And so just fill your head full of useless things. It's important. When the Puritans use that word vain, they don't always mean vain in the same way we do, right? Vain as in conceited, vain as in worthless, empty, just these kind of empty thoughts, meaningless thoughts, you know, random, useless facts of information, song lyrics from songs that you really should be singing while you're praying. You know, like any, pick it, anything, you know, a line from a movie you saw 10 years ago, or, you know, like any little numbers of distractions or things like that. If you can't empty your head of thoughts of God, he's going to fill it with something else. So this is a really practical one.
Yeah. I love the sentence, I have no heart to hear, nor no heart to pray, nor no delight in reading, nor in the society of the saints. That, you know, essentially what he's getting at there is, man, I don't feel like doing these things. I just don't feel like going to church. I just don't feel like reading my Bible. I just don't feel like sitting down and praying to the Lord. I just don't feel like doing the things that I know I should do, and therefore I don't do them.
Right.
And man, that is a trap that entraps so many.
100%. So we need some remedies.
Remedies. David. Remedy number one. The first remedy against this device of Satan is to have your hearts strongly affected with the greatness, holiness, majesty, and glory of that God before whom you stand and with whom your souls do converse in religious services. Oh, let your souls be greatly affected with the presence, purity, and majesty of that God before whom thou standest. A man would be afraid of playing with a feather when he is speaking with a king.
Mm.
Ah, when men have poor, low, light, slight thoughts of God, in their drawing near to God, they tempt the devil to bestir himself and to cast in a multitude of vain thoughts to disturb and distract the soul in its waiting on God. There is nothing that will contribute so much to the keeping out of vain thoughts as to look upon God as an omniscient God, an omnipresent God, an omnipotent God, a God full of all glorious perfections, a God whose majesty, purity, and glory will not suffer him to behold the least iniquity. The not so much as one vain thought is because they are greatly affected with the greatness, holiness, majesty, purity, and glory of God.
I mean, so remedy one, number one, is just remember who you're talking to.
Yes.
Remember why you go to church on Sundays. Remember why you get up early to read the scriptures. Remember why you're exercising in that fast. Remember what is the actual reason that I'm doing all these things? And it's because these things bring me into communion with this big God that I read up in the scriptures, this holy king. You know, so a man would be afraid of playing with a feather when he's speaking with a king.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the equivalent of standing face to face with the president of the United States and thinking it more important to pull out your cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, mm-hmm. like
or mess with the fidget toy.
Yeah. And so it's this, you've got to start with enlarging your view of God. I've never met anybody who had a big enough view of God,
mm-hmm.
including the guy who's currently speaking. None of us can conceive of infinity and omniscience and omnipresence and omnipotence in the way that we should, because we're finite beings. So our work in our own souls first begins with getting a right view of who God is. And so I love that he starts with that, because it starts with his glory. See God as glorious, and everything else kind of starts to flow, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, who was it that said the most important thing about you is what you think when you think of God?
A.W. Tozer.
A.W. Tozer.
Whatever comes to your mind when you think of God is the most important thing about you.
Yeah.
It's just a great quote.
Mm. So remedy number two, the second remedy against this device of Satan is to be peremptory.
That's what it looks like.
In religious services, notwithstanding all those wandering thoughts the soul is troubled with. This will be a sweet help against them, for the soul to be resolute in waiting on God, whether it be troubled with vain thoughts or not, to say, well, I will pray still, and hear still, and meditate still, and keep fellowship with the saints still. Many precious souls can say from experience that when their souls have been peremptory in their waiting on God, that Satan hath left them and hath not been so busy in vexing their souls with vain thoughts. When Satan perceives that all those trifling vain thoughts that he casts into the soul do but vex the soul into greater diligence, carefulness, watchfulness, and peremptoriness in in holy and heavenly services, and that the soul loses nothing of his zeal, piety, and devotion, but doubles his care, diligence, and earnestness, he often ceases to interpose his trifles and vain thoughts, as he ceased to tempt Christ, when Christ was peremptory in resisting his temptations.
Okay, before we actually talk about this remedy, it's time for some. It's time for a very special segment of our podcast, David. Here we go. Ding! Now it's time for the Puritan word of the day. The Puritan word of the day is peremptory. Peremptory, according to the Cambridge Dictionary, means having the expectation of immediate and complete obedience, or to be obeyed without explanation. Mm. So the illustration they use is Nike, just do it.
Just do it.
A peremptory command. Just do it. So
that's a great word. That's a really awesome
peremptory
word.
I feel like I'm going to use this more in my life now, assuming I can remember it. The second remedy is to be peremptory in religious service. Just do it.
Just do it.
Notwithstanding all the wandering thoughts the soul is troubled with. So cut through the fog. Pull out your knife. Cut through the fog.
Just
keep going. Just do it. Like that's how I'm going to remember this word from now on. Right. And so then so there's this immediacy of just, I mean, carrying on, right? When Satan perceives that these vain thoughts vex the soul into greater diligence, careful watchfulness, right? Then he doubles his care and diligence, earnestness. Then he often will stop. So what he's saying is, if the enemy sees that this trick's not working, he's not going to waste his energy.
Yeah.
He's not going to waste his energy, right? The adding of vain thoughts to the mind is only an effective remedy in so much as we
allow it
to be. Mm-hmm. And so there's where the peremptoriness of the command is, of what has God said? God has said, do not forsake the gathering together of one another, as is good for your souls. He has said, abide in me and you will bear much fruit. He has said that we ought to be a people committed to the word and to prayer. Well, if he has said these things, well, then
we do them.
Just do it. Just do it.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes we need like this. We need the gird your loins passages of the scripture, right? Mm-hmm. Like stop whining. Just do it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what he's saying. Like, yeah. if you do, you've just defanged the guy.
If the evil one sees that you're just going to push harder to do the things that the Lord has called you to do, despite the distractions and despite the thoughts that swirl in your mind, if Satan tries to tempt you with those things and finds, oh no, this guy's just going to push harder into what he knows he's supposed to do.
Yep.
That's not the reaction that Satan was going for here. Man, that was not the intended outcome that he was looking for.
It reminds me, have you ever seen, if this weren't an unscripted show, I'd be prepared for this illustration, but there's this, it's like a liquid, right? And when you're on the liquid, as long as you're running or moving your feet on top of the liquid, it's a solid.
Okay.
And so you'll see this, and it's kids use it all. It's a thing you see in like kids' games and stuff like that. But they'll put them in these little boxes, and as long as they keep their feet moving on top of the liquid stays solid enough to hold their weight. But the moment they quit moving, they start sinking, and then you can't get your feet
out.
It's like quicksand almost.
Ooh,
it's amazing, and I don't remember what it's called, but
that's how it operates.
But that's how it operates, and that's the principle. Like keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Keep. Sometimes you just get up. And you just read the scriptures and you just pray and you just.
Because that is what God has told you to do.
Because it's good for your soul. I mean, look, you know, I don't always take medication because it tastes delicious.
Mm.
You know, I don't always wake up in the morning and go, I have a headache. What I really like is four delicious ibuprofen. And that tastes very good, especially if you leave it in your mouth. But when I take it, you know what happens?
It works.
It works. That's so you. Just do it. Peremptoriness. Okay. Let's hit one more.
One more.
Yeah. Remedy three.
Remedy three. The third remedy against...
Oh, I'm sorry. This has been the Puritan word of the day.
Ding. Ding.
Carry on, David. Sorry about
that. All right. The third remedy against this device of Satan is seriously... just consider this. I'm missing the seriously to consider.
I know, right? Solemnly consider.
Yeah. Consider this.
It's got to be coming.
that those vain and trifling thoughts that are cast into our souls when we are waiting upon God in this or that religious service, if they be not cherished and indulged, but abhorred, resisted, and disclaimed, they are not sins upon our souls, though they may be troubles to our minds. They shall not be put upon our accounts, nor keep mercies and blessings from being enjoyed by us. When a soul in uprightness can look God in the face and say, Lord, when I approach near unto thee, there be a world of vain thoughts crowd in upon me that do disturb my soul and weaken my faith and lessen my comfort and spiritual strength. Oh, these are my clog, my burden, my torment, my hell. Oh, do justice upon these. Free me from these, that I may serve thee with more freeness, singleness, spiritualness, and sweetness of spirit. These thoughts may vex that soul, but they shall not harm that soul, nor keep a blessing from that soul. If vain thoughts resisted and lamented could stop the currents of mercy and render a soul unhappy, there would be none on earth that should ever taste of mercy or be everlastingly happy.
In other words, if you bring the darkness into the light, it's vanquished, right? And so we don't have to, Romans 8:1, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? So when you confess those things to the Lord, and use another scripture, he's faithful and just, forgives us our sins, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But so we don't have to belabor ourselves by thinking that God is going to keep blessings from us because we've had these thoughts in our mind. What we do is we just take those thoughts to the Father, confess them, keep moving.
Yeah.
And he takes care of it.
Yeah. Because being tempted is not a sin, but giving in to temptation.
Correct.
Is a sin.
Yes.
So what he's encouraging us to do is, if you're being tempted by these vain thoughts, know that if you resist them, you will resist sin. Mm. You can resist by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You can avoid sinning in this situation.
Yep.
But if you give in to these vain thoughts, if you dwell upon them and indulge them, then you will be guilty of not doing the things that you ought to do, which is sin.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a word of grace in the middle of all this heaviness, which is really nice, you know. And again, it's just a reminder why we read books like this, because you would, you know, if you never read a Puritan, but you just hear what other people say about them, you can be often tempted to think that they're that everything they say is just this hard line. Don't have any fun. Don't have any joy. Don't ever smile. Always follow the rules. But then you read a Brooks, especially, but you know, Watson, Thomas Watson, or even a Richard Baxter to some degree, Richard Sibbes to a very large degree. I mean, these men are full of grace. Mm. They're just full of grace. They're just very aware of the human condition. Mm. And they're going to call sin, sin. And then they're going to tell you what to do with it. And then they're going to teach you how to rejoice in the fact that when we bring these things before the Father, man, they're gone. They're done. Over with. You know, that's grace.
That's grace.
And so it's neat to have this little message of grace right in the middle of this thing. So, well, friends, that was delightful. We hope that you gained from it today. You're blessed by it. If you were, would you share it with your friends? And we will talk again soon.
Goodbye.